Parents, welcome to another episode of The Journey, a podcast intended to educate, equip, and entertain you as we talk about important issues facing our families. PCA is a Christ-centered, biblically-based, and family-focused community of committed believers doing life together. We hope the information you hear on this podcast informs and inspires you to be a better parent. Welcome to The Journey.
Hey parents, welcome back to The Journey. This is Dan Panetti. I'm up here at the North Campus with Kristen Dysart. Kristen, mm-hmm. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks so much.
And I wanted to have a conversation with you about just some things that are happening in the world, in the culture, and you pay attention to these things because part of your job is like preparing kids for the next phase, for the next chapter. For a lot of our students, that's college.
Right.
For some of our students, it might be something else, something different. In fact, just did some capstones
That's
with
exactly
some students,
right.
And some of those students are doing some things that are a little bit non-traditional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a big push. There's a number of books that are being published about what the college environment looks like today. And really, I mean, best word I can say is kind of like it's a dumpster fire. and it's a very, very expensive dumpster fire. And so I know that kind of traditionally, we're sitting in your office, and if people could see, there's all these kind of college banners around, right? And the whole idea of, you know, I went to the University of whatever, and so obviously my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids will go to the University of whatever, right? And we'll all root for the, you know, football team and things like that. I think things are changing, right? I think
absolutely.
there's a definite move here in a direction that I'm not anti-college, but I'm much more discerning that I think our parents really need to kind of grasp a reality of, hey, listen, we're preparing your kids to be successful in life.
Mm-hmm.
And college, right, preparing them to be successful at college, right, looks differently than it really ever did before.
Yes.
We can't expect college to, in a sense, reinforce the values that we're teaching our kids. In fact, a lot of the times they're actually pushing them away from. Mm-hmm. And a couple studies that recently came out, in fact, you sent me an article from Christianity Today that talked about how this is such an important time in a young person's life. And as Christian parents, we really need to kind of reevaluate, right? Are we doing a good enough job to prepare our kids to walk onto these college campuses and really to thrive in their faith? A couple studies that did come out, they talked to young people in terms of what they think about the value of college.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time, the survey found 56% of Americans no longer believe a four-year college degree is worth it, right? So more than half the people think that's not worth the price that they're charging. But then they said young Americans, age 18 to 34, they're more than 60%, right? And so the people who are supposed to be going into these things are looking at it saying, I don't think that's worth it. I don't think it's worth $80,000 a year to go and just have the college experience. And so I want to talk to you not just about kind of college prep, but about life prep.
Yes.
And I wanted to make sure that all of our parents, so if there's a pre-K 3 parent who's mm-hmm. listening and saying, Dan and Kristen, I've got a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
do I turn this off now, right, and come back in 10 years? And I think the answer is no.
Right.
I think you listen now for your 3-year-old because the things that you're doing now for the 3-year-old, for the 5-year-old, for the 7-year-old, really are the things that are super, super important for them to be successful in life. So I just wanted to kind of have that conversation mm-hmm. with you and get your perspective on that in terms of what do our parents need to be doing and what is important from your perspective mm-hmm. on preparing our kids for life. So where do you want to start?
I'm just going to kind of recap exactly what you just said.
Yes.
So yes, although like PCA is a college prep school. And so what I say to my students, to our parents, is your student will be well equipped for that if that's what they decide to do.
Yes.
And I think we all...
If that's where God's called
that's
them...
That's exactly right.
They will be equipped and prepared.
And we want them to have that experience.
Exactly.
We want them to be great students and all of those things. And so it's not, can you do it? You absolutely can.
Absolutely.
Is it the best option for you? And like the research is showing and all those things, there's a couple of pieces there. The article from Christianity Today does talk about the price versus the cost.
Yes.
And so it's this idea of even when you're determining a college, Is it just the sticker price that we look at, or is it the teachers, the professional, or can't even say it, professors, the programs that the school is offering? Do you consider that, or is it my kid's going to go to the most affordable school?
And the story that he started with, I'll say this.
That's right.
Because it may be one particular story, but I've heard that story in its variation over and over and over and over again, and that is, you know, pretty solid Christian kid walks onto a state university at some wherever, and they walk away from their faith.
Right.
Right. And they get involved in, you know, the lifestyle of the world.
Right.
And they push back on the things that, you know, the parents kind of thought were pillars of their faith, and they were solid in their foundation. And, you know, they're going to walk onto a college campus and just, you know, they're going to keep on going to church because, you know, we drug them to church, you know, well, at least one Sunday a month.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're going to be consistent in it. And so many kids walk away from that. And I think that's what the article was talking about is, you know, is it really worth sending your kid to a place that's going to be pushing back so dramatically on their faith? And I think a lot of people don't understand most college campuses now. I don't know what it is, right? What percentage or where. But most college campuses, I think, are kind of antithetical to a Christian faith. And then there's some, and we could give example after example after example, that really are fostering ideals and lifestyles that are anti-Christian, right? That are really pushing gender and sexuality, right?
All the pronouns is very apparent.
Yes. Different, right? In fact, I mean, one of the universities that just won a major college championship, when the coach was asked about trans athletes, her statement was, oh, yeah, you know, I would definitely allow trans. And so,
things to be aware of.
Things to be aware of, right? That if your son or daughter is looking forward to the future of what's that going to look like, they need to know that the environment that, is being, you know, promoted out there, and fostered, is going to run counter to those particular biblical norms that we know that are true,
right?
That there is truth, that there, you know, there are male and female in terms of gender, right? And then just fostering a lifestyle that would be consistent with a person walking with the Lord,
and
trying to avoid a sin, sinful lifestyle that a lot of the college campus is not producing a healthy biblical lifestyle, And so, you see that concept as you're paying attention, and preparing our kids for the college life as well. That a lot of those things are happening.
And here's a cool piece about that. I mean, schools are very transparent about whatever the agenda they're pushing. So that's anyone can look up a school anytime and kind of see where they are on things. But I think the onus goes back to those conversations with our kids. And what are they looking for in the future and why? It kind of goes back to some of these other articles. We're seeing that there's great jobs and great careers out there that aren't tied to a college degree.
Right.
In fact, if you looked in the workforce and you found out what people majored in and that, what they got their degree in and what they're actually working in are often different areas.
Yes.
And so I just think there's an awareness that needs to be made. Of course, I mean, we do a lot of guidance and counseling for colleges. And so I'm definitely not anti-college, but I would want our kids and parents and families just to be very mindful of, we don't just do things because that's what you're supposed to do. I think that we can be much more intentional and what's the best fit for our students. And goes back to your point, it even starts when they're little and how we're raising them up. We use the phrase here that, you know, like life prep is college prep, right? Because how we live our life is going to prepare us for the future. And all those things fall under this idea of stewardship, right? So we're stewarding opportunities well. We're preparing for whatever that might be. Our kids have some amazing opportunities. You alluded to capstones today. And yes, a lot of our seniors were celebrating where they're going, what they hope to do. But I also love the boldness of our seniors who are like, actually, I'm planning to take a gap year. I'm planning to take a pause and look into this and maybe look into something that would be a little bit more entrepreneurial. Like I just... I think there's a boldness to that. I think there's a need to that. And so we want to also foster those opportunities as well.
I think that's a big thing. I think you're going to see colleges begin to make some major shifts. I was telling you about, I listened to Malcolm Gladwell's, you know, revisionist history. And he was talking about Hope College, which is up in Holland, Michigan. And there was a new president that came in. And they're changing their price structure. And so they have a group of students that are going through that they're not paying in advance for college. Right. They're saying, hey, you're going to go to college for free. And then when you leave and you graduate, you're going to give back to the university what you think is worth it. Right. What was your education worth?
Yeah,
then you give that back. right? And I was just like, and his thing was, right, that so many, we don't even understand this, right?
Yeah.
But so many universities have not millions of dollars in endowment, but billions of dollars in endowment that they don't even need to charge students,
wow.
right? And he used, in his particular show, he used Princeton as an example, and he said Princeton has a $40 billion endowment. Right. And so they could run
yeah.
a $3 billion university, right, without charging students anything. And he's like, and then the cool thing is last year a Princeton grad, right, gave a $300 million gift back to his school.
Yeah. Because right? it was worth it.
Because it was worth it to
yep,
him.
Yep,
right. And so
yep.
he's like, maybe colleges need to kind of get on the bandwagon and say, hey, instead of charging people $100,000 yeah. for something that they hope is worth it,
right.
why don't you not charge them anything and then let them pay you
yeah.
back what they find the value in?
I bet your retention rate for that school would be much higher.
Well, and he just
the,
said
the education
and
piece,
it just
onus.
Started there,
yeah.
but he's saying
yeah.
that group of students is already starting to perform better.
I bet so.
Right, because they have that idea of like, hey, you know, I've got to make this worthwhile for me.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So
that
so here's the thing. Let's talk to those parents in terms of like the life prep aspects.
Yes.
Because I think the value of what we're trying to instill in these students while they're here at PCA, PCA North, right, is the concepts of what things do you see as being like, you know, the non-negotiables, the
yes.
things that you say, hey, parents, make sure that your kids have these things
right.
before they go off to that next particular stage.
Mm-hmm.
So where would you start for that for
well,
our parents?
Well, I mean, we start when they're little.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've kind of alluded this to before, but there's a couple of things there of like, we're going to let our kids make mistakes
mm-hmm.
when they're little.
Yep.
We're going to give kids the opportunity to even, you know, back in the playground days,
yep.
we would go on the playground
yep.
and we would have an argument and you wouldn't go tell the teacher.
Yep.
You'd solve the argument. And so I think more and more we've got to equip kids with their own skills.
Right.
They don't need to bring it to mom and dad.
Yeah.
They can figure it out.
So
no.
you're seeing the same
yeah.
thing that I'm seeing, right? You probably see it. I read about it.
Yeah.
But we're seeing how parents are not allowing their kids to fail.
Right.
Even not in first and second grade and on you know the playground, but even high school, college, and career,
right.
where parents are going on interviews.
Yes.
Right? For college interviews, parents
yes.
are there answering
yep.
questions.
Yep.
Right. For the first job,
mm-hmm.
right? Parents
or
are
even calling
up.
Whenever they don't like the answer that their kid received
yes.
and
yes.
saying,
and
how dare you?
And parents are hopping in here. Right.
Yes.
And that is, in a sense, it is very damaging,
mm-hmm.
right, to the development of this young person growing into maturity.
That's right.
Right. That these young kids are not getting the ability to, you know, develop that struggle muscle
mm-hmm.
of learning and growing. And I think that's the hard part is parents feel like I can't allow my kids to fail. But the failure, I feel like, is more of a reflection on
that's
them
exactly.
as a parent than it is on their kids.
Right.
Johnny doesn't know he's a failure.
Right.
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 He did the best he could. Right. But you
yeah.
know that that's not up to standard or par with what you want. And so as a parent, we step in. Right. We help out.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, we've actually hurt our
we've
sons
made it
and
worse.
Daughters. We've made it worse.
Well, we've. Two things there, and this is we're also speaking here as parents. So
yes.
I'm a mom for myself, and
yep.
I'm definitely walking because do we like to see our kids fail? No. At the same point in time, we know it's good for them.
Yes.
And the other piece of that, you said struggle muscle, which yes, let's use that. We got to build that. But it's also we're teaching them a narrative that you can't take care of this by yourself.
Oh.
You need me.
Yep.
So you'll never be able to handle this because I've got you. You know,
yep.
like so. I think there's a. You're right. I can't face this alone.
Yep.
Actually, you can. You've been well equipped, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think we're actually doing two things that are damaging by not letting them fail.
Yeah.
And I think we need to clarify, we let the kid fail, but the conversation doesn't stop there. It actually begins there. So how did this happen? What can you do different next time?
Yeah.
Do you need to go and apologize to someone? Like that's the parenting piece. But we got to let the kids kind of navigate that. And then that's what we get to do afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's right. I mean, if I had to say, you know, a couple things, right, those lower school years, right, really allowing your son and daughter to take on their particular projects, to do the very best
mm-hmm.
with, right, instilling in them the idea that, you know, we're gonna try our best here. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not good at that. Okay, well,
that's okay.
great. We're going to try our very best. We're
mm-hmm.
not going to focus on what everybody else is doing, because
right.
that's the other thing, right? Comparison is the thief of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of our lives are comparing ourselves to other people,
yes.
right? What vacations they're going on and
that's
what do
right.
they look like and all the different things. And it's killing our kids. but allowing them to be successful, right, mm-hmm. to the best of their particular ability.
Yes.
And just understand that school is not set up to demonstrate everybody's ability.
Correct.
It just isn't. Right. It can't be.
Multiple intelligences, exactly. Different strengths, and that's how God made us.
Yes. And so, right, because somebody's going to succeed in one particular area, your success may come in a completely different area at a mm-hmm. completely different time.
Right.
You know, and that's one of the reasons why I love like athletics for younger kids, right?
Yeah.
Just go play.
Just
have fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to a particular age, we're like, hey, I'm not really good at that. Awesome. You don't have to keep on doing
right.
it. But the idea of just, you know, allowing yourself to go and have a good time and, you know, you're the kid who got yeah. up to bat and struck out. Awesome. Mm-hmm. But you were out there, right? You tried. You had a good time.
I was going to say, it's the trying
right,
something
play
different.
Play with your friends.
Yes.
Enjoy the opportunities. But that I think that's a concept for our kids or our parents that we really have to kind of dig in on,
right?
Is allowing our kids to fail,
mm-hmm.
right? Being okay with that as a parent.
Right.
So what's next as they get to kind of middle school areas,
that,
you know, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade age range? What do we need to focus on from
so,
the parents?
And it could actually start a little bit earlier than that, but I do want to make sure that we are still modeling for our kids
mm-hmm.
healthy habits,
yeah.
right? So these are the things that we can control. Can
yeah.
we be mindful of taking care of homework when we get home? Like, you know what I mean? The things in the structure in the day,
yeah.
I think we model that for them. And then we come to middle school and they get a little bit more of an opportunity to stretch that muscle all by themselves.
Bit more responsibility.
So always want yep. that. Let's just be honest. Middle school is known for, and it's true, those peer relationships they're so pivotal.
They can be tough.
They can be very tough.
Yes.
And so I think one of the main things that we can do or should be doing is leaning into our students understanding their identity,
mm-hmm.
right? So and elementary age, man, we're happy-go-lucky.
Right.
We're trying all the things. And we get to middle school and we notice.
Everybody's our best friend.
Everyone's our best
school.
Friend. And then we get to middle school and that's not the case. And,
right.
you know, so-and-so does this and that and I wasn't included. And so it's navigating all that and who should I be? The boys seem to like this kind of a girl. So I think it's really important that our middle school student age, and it could be both a little bit earlier, a little bit later, depending on development,
mm-hmm.
we start to focus more on our identity in Christ. And what does that look like? We focus that even more, I would say, when they get to high school as well. This is an ongoing thing. But part of that is also recognizing how has God equipped me?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of my gifts and abilities? And it might look different than my friend.
That's right.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
I use the phrase all the time in here. And something as simple as maybe my middle school students are picking electives. But I want to be in art because my friend's in art. We don't pick schedules based on our friends.
You know,
we're going to run our own race.
People pick colleges based
no.
on the person that they're dating.
Oh, you know,
and
oh,
I'm always like, what in the world?
Please don't.
Yes.
Please don't
do that. So it starts
yeah.
at that younger age.
It does.
Like I want to fit into the narrative of, right, this is what my friends are doing,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's like, is that what is that what you're equipped for? Is that
That's
how God
right.
made you, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
is that the best fit for you?
Is that the best fit for you?
Mm-hmm.
I think, right, and I'll go back to, you know, lower school. And one of the things I think we do a really good job of at PCA is grounding our kids in the Word.
Oh, yes,
absolutely. We spend so much time soaking them in the Bible
mm-hmm.
so that they have an understanding that there is a God and He has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the middle school years, now it becomes the question of, what's that plan
yeah.
for me?
Yeah, and right? do I believe that
right.
for me?
Like, how does that relate to Dan.
Yeah.
Right? And Dan's plan is going to be different than your plan. And then when you get to the high school years, you know, now it's the idea of how do I enhance that plan and develop that plan and move forward with that plan,
yeah.
you know, that God really has equipped and prepared me for something, right? How do I move forward and actually do the work to accomplish the things that God's given me to do? But I think it goes back to, one, you've got to know the Word of God,
right?
right? And the God
it's
of the Word.
Foundation.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got to know who you are in Christ.
That's right.
Right? So, like, you know, what's my relationship
mm-hmm.
with Him, right?
right?
Do I say the Lord is my shepherd or do I say mm. the Lord is the shepherd, right? He's got to be my shepherd.
That's right.
Right? And so just that identity in Christ and being, you know, from a parenting perspective, allowing our kids to be comfortable the way that God created
That's right.
them.
I would even like take it a step further and also be comfortable when they're not invited to the party.
Yeah.
And how do you navigate that? Those are the same crazy. Those are the same principles that if and when they go to college, they'll have to navigate that same
That's
feeling.
Right. Absolutely.
So under your guidance and direction in the household, they've already been taught that skill.
Yeah.
So that in the future, when these opportunities come up or they're trying to figure out, man, now I've been exposed to all these things that maybe I didn't see as a kid. How do I navigate that? You're going to navigate it the same way. It's
yeah.
your identity. And that's how, you know, so again, life prep is college prep.
Yep.
And it does start in middle school. Yep. Well, actually, before that.
And middle school, you know, through college, right? Yeah. The whole idea of fitting in versus standing out.
Yes.
Such an important, in fact, one of my I used to do this in SLI all the time. I would show a picture, and it's a very, very famous picture. You can look it up. But there's, it's a, 1930 something picture, in Nazi Germany where everybody's, doing the Heil Hitler salute or whatever. And there's one guy standing there not doing it.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just one guy.
That's right.
And he's easy to pick out.
Because he's the only one.
He's the only one not doing it. Right. And I think the reality is, like, you have to be very careful of fitting into a stream. Now, not everything, right, is the wrong thing to do.
Yep.
But I think if your mindset is that I want to fit in, right, you have to be very careful because, well, where is everybody going? And what is everybody doing? And then you mentioned, right, well, everybody's taking this particular class, so I just want to fit in.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's a bad class.
No, not at all.
But it might not be the best class for me.
For that one. Right.
Right. It might not be the best position for me, and I might miss out on an opportunity for me to do something where I say, well, all my friends are doing this, but you know what? I think God's got me for something over here. Right?
Well, and even to that, I would even say, even the awareness as early as middle school of the things you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's going to translate to could be a college, it could be a major, it could be a career, it could be a different program right outside of school.
Yeah.
So, we've got a student, like my example, I got to do art because everybody, but they really love robotics.
Yeah.
Why don't you enjoy your passions?
Yeah.
So there's no rule against that. And so just being mindful of that. And I think those, again, are some fun conversations we get to have at home with our kids of, man, what do you really like?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which goes back to the conversation we were having about Hope College.
Yeah.
Because the guy who came in, who's the new president, went and asked a bunch of students, right, what are you studying and what are you wanting to do?
Yeah.
And he said a lot of them had this constant narrative that said, this is what I'm passionate about and this is what I'd love to do, but –
yeah,
I can't
yeah.
because when I graduate from here, I'm going to have a bunch of debt. So I've got to go get a job. I got to go do business. I got to go make a bunch of money. And his thing was, oh my goodness, like we're actually the hurdle in the way for them to do what God has called for them to do because we're strapping them down with all this debt.
Yeah.
And I think that's the concept is if you can help your children understand God's called you to something and I want you to pursue the passion and I want you to trust God will be your provider.
Yeah.
But we have to give them the opportunity, right, for God to be their provider. And if they're strapped down with a couple $100,000 of debt when they graduate from college, it's a hard thing to do, right? You have to, at the end of the day, make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of our kids are kind of, faced with that position of saying, well, how am I going to do that? And I think college right now isn't helping our kids make those decisions, and we have to. Right.
Yeah.
We have to help our students say, maybe you need to think about something that right now is non-traditional.
Yeah.
10 years from now, it might be what everybody's doing.
Could be.
Right. But you threw out, gap year program.
Yeah.
Right.
Different
internships.
Things like that.
Yeah. Right?
Apprenticeships are coming back.
Trade schools.
Yes.
Right. Those whole things where you're going, wait a second. Is that, something that I can look into?
Yeah.
And I think the answer is yes. You can look into those things. You can ask those questions, right? The gap year programs that we've encouraged kids to go to, a lot of them are very Christian, biblically based, and they are incredible programs for students.
Yeah. The best way I've heard gap years is described, and again, different. Mm-hmm. You can do a religious based, all the different things, but our students have done nothing but school their whole lives, and they're graduating. And they've never processed who they are, what they want to do.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times these programs are a great pause.
Yeah.
It's not the end of their education. It's a pause to determine what would be the best next steps. Now, again, is that for everybody? No, that's what we're trying to say. There's a lot of different avenues.
But honestly, it's what college used to be. It used to be that
more time of a discovery.
Right, that discovery and exploratory concept, right, where you would take – right, classes from across a lot of just, general disciplines, and you would wrestle with the great ideas, and you would think, okay, what do I want to do in life, right? And now college isn't that anymore. For a lot of kids and their experience as they're going through it, right, that's not what they're getting while they're in college. They're, unfortunately, a lot of them are being indoctrinated, right, with ideals that are very different than what they've learned in the first 18 years of their life.
And I think those are all things to be very mindful of, again, as if we're kind of transitioning, talk about upper school, preparing for college, is we got to know that about the colleges and the programs and the universities that we're looking into.
Yes.
Because I do think there are schools out there who there are schools out there who will not even let you select a major your freshman year. because they know you're probably going to change it anyway. Yeah. Yeah. And you've got great liberal arts school. That's going to give you a wonderful foundation. But you got to know these things. Again, it kind of goes back to our very first point. We're not just preparing our kids and they're going to go to the same school that we went to because that's where we went.
Right.
The things you're thinking of, it probably doesn't look the exact same way you remember it when you were there, your grandparents were there. So we have to be more intentional in what do these schools have to offer? What's going to be the best fit for my kid? Mm-hmm. And is it the best fit?
Yeah.
You have to think through all those things.
Yeah.
You know, there's something to be said for our parents here who have invested so much in Kingdom education. We don't just let them turn 18 and graduate and say, good luck.
Right.
And so, and part of that is you've equipped them to make it this far. What does it look like to equip them in the next step? Well, it's being intentional.
Yeah.
It's the conversations. And so we do parent meetings, like when we started in eighth grade, we do a parent meeting every year. And yes, we talk about colleges quite a bit because we are a college prep and I want them, again, all my kids to be well equipped if that's the next step for them.
Right.
But a lot of our conversations is, hey, parents, have conversations. Like, look at what are your kids passionate about? How might that – it's not just how might that translate into a college. How might that translate into a vocation?
That's right.
Okay, cool. What does that look like? And then what are the steps to work backwards from there? And so I think that's really an important piece is we can never have too many conversations with our kids about, you know, we've got their natural gifted abilities. Mm-hmm. God gave them those. How are we going to use them? They have passions. Now, granted, most passions are shaped by experiences, right? So they may want to be a teacher because they've been around a bunch of teachers. So we got to take that into consideration. And then some of them do have a very strong feeling of, man, this is what I feel like I'm called to do.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them don't. And that's okay, too. So I think it's actually being aware of those things and then also being patient with them in the process. I can't tell you how many times we may have parents who are like, I wish they would just decide. Well, you know what? When they've been told what to do for 18 years and then given a free choice, you don't wonder that they're a little bit cautious and trying to figure it out. So I think those are some patience in those conversations as well.
And I think we have to remember this as parents is we don't want to put our kids in a situation where their choices, they feel like they have to make things, otherwise they're letting us down.
Right.
Right. Like, I want to go to the university of whatever because that's where my parents want me to go.
Yeah.
And I think parents, like, mm-hmm. we have to own that reality.
Yeah.
Right. Is, you know, if your kid wants to do something different and there's an opportunity for them to do and to grow and to be grounded in their faith and to, you know, to pursue something, you know what? Here's the deal. It may not be, right, that, you know, the greatest thing that you mm-hmm. go, oh, hey, you know, I wish they had done this, but. Like, you know, we've got to let our kids try some things.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, the whole, you know, back failure? In first and second grade failure thing. Well, but I mean, can you imagine being 18 or 19?
Yeah.
I mean, a quarter of kids who walk onto a college campus transfer.
Yeah.
Right? So 25% mm-hmm. of the kids who Moving walk around. Onto whatever college, right, they aren't there the next year anyway.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, there's a lot of kids that are trying things. It's like, no, that doesn't work. And I think the more conversations you can have with your son and daughter
mm-hmm.
to find the best fit for them, to find the right place for them to be, not to pursue your dreams and your gifts and your abilities or where you went, but to pursue their gifts and abilities. And so that's why, so, you know, the Proverbs 22:6 verse, right, where it says, train up a child in the way that they should go,
mm-hmm.
right, is always a constant reminder to me that my sons, right, and my daughter, because we have the same. We have three boys and a girl.
Three boys and
right?
a girl.
Just a little different order than yours. Right? But those three boys and our daughter, right? It's like, well, each one of them is different, right? Mm-hmm. Which, you know.
Oh, I know. I would almost expect them to do very different things.
Yeah. And sometimes you're like, are they really part of the same family?
Yeah.
Because they're vastly different from each other. And so if they went to vastly different schools and pursued vastly different careers and had vastly different, right? You'd be like, yeah, because my kids are vastly different. Mm-hmm. They have the same parents.
That's right.
And we're raised in the same home, but God created each one of them unique.
That's right.
And so how do I steward that as a parent to make sure that I'm training them in the way that they should go, not the way that I want them to go, but the way that God has created and crafted for them to go. In fact, somebody used in the capstone, they were talking about Ephesians 2:10, right? We're God's workmanship, right? Created in Christ Jesus, right? And he's got work prepared ahead for us to do. And so our job as parents is to equip the kids for the work that God has for them, right? And the great thing is partnering with a Christian school that comes alongside, right, and integrates God's word into that preparation and training so that we can send our kids out into the world. And whether they go to a Christian college, a secular college, a gap year.
Straight to the workforce.
Right, straight to the workforce, yeah. Whatever it is, right? We've prepared and trained them to thrive and, you know, and succeed in that next stage mm-hmm. of life. And that's where I love, right, that, you know, the idea, I can't remember when I heard about, you know, there's college prep schools. And mm-hmm. I'm like, college prep, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Right? Are you preparing college a kid to get into prep. A college or yeah. to survive and thrive at a college?
Right.
And I think PCA is really more of a life prep school, mm-hmm. right? Whatever the next chapters of life
right.
and not just the next chapter, but the next one mm-hmm. and the next one.
The big picture.
And the next one right, to be successful right, yeah. in life. And
absolutely.
I think that's such an important thing. So just any last thoughts or words for parents in terms of like things that they really need to ground their kids in terms of preparation for that next stage?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we've kind of hit it multiple times, mm-hmm. right? Like, I was just going to say this. It is more on the college side of things when we're talking about holistic admissions, mm-hmm. the head and the heart, academics and who you are as a person. I would kind of say the same thing for anything that they're going into.
Okay.
Do I think academics are important? Yes, for the discipline of it.
Yeah.
Because so PCA's model, we are a college prep school, meaning we are going to challenge you to think critically more than college because God has given us a brilliant mind and yeah. we need to use it and steward yeah. it well. You're going to need that regardless of where you go is to think critically, right? So it's those types of things of the headpiece. Let's use our gifts well.
Yes.
So, yes, we take care of our schoolwork. Yes, we stretch ourselves whenever we need to. We ask questions. We do all of those things. And that starts in first grade.
Which at the same time falls into the concept of don't take shortcuts.
That's exactly right.
Right. Don't take shortcuts. Learn the work ethic mm-hmm. on doing the best you can do. And so much of the educational concept right now for young people is, I mean, think about
it's
AI.
It's all about the A.
Right. Think about what AI, right, where you can allow somebody else to do your work for you. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
the president of Harvard, right, mm-hmm. just resigned because yep. of plagiarism scandals, right?
Right?
Of
right.
allowing somebody else to do your work. And so there's so much for our kids that they've got to own mm-hmm. their own education
That's
and development.
That's exactly right.
That you can't take the shortcuts that are so easy to fall mm-hmm. into, right? Mm-hmm. It, you know, maybe back in the day was cheating, right?
Yeah.
Now it's artificial intelligence,
That's right?
right? Where,
you it's know, hard to even catch it.
Yeah, is it really even cheating?
Yeah.
I put the prompt in, you know, I ask it, hey,
yeah.
right? So that's the concept, though, that our kids are not going to learn a great work ethic mm-hmm. to prepare them for whatever it is if, as you said, if they're focused on just getting the grade mm-hmm. as opposed to actually learning something.
Yes. The idea we want to – we're supposed to be scholars,
yes.
lifelong learners. That's what we want. So that's that headpiece that will help, again, regardless of what they decide to
yep.
pursue. The other side of that is the heart piece.
Yep.
So who they are as a person, their character – what they see, the relationships they build with their peers and their teachers, those are life skills as well,
Amen.
Right? So
yep.
we write recommendation letters. It's one of my joys, actually. I love doing that piece. But that's going to translate beautifully into the workforce. We're created to be relational.
Yes.
And we want the consistency of you are who you say you are. And so we want that for our kids as well.
Yep.
And so, again, that's where this falls nicely really into whatever categories our kids want to go on is are we using our abilities? And then who are we as a person? The phrase is like, who are you and whose are you?
Yep.
Right? Like,
yep.
so, because that should look different if you're a follower of Christ,
right?
So those types of identity things, which we've already, you know, visited about, it's kind of funny. There was a book years ago. I can't remember the exact, but it was a comic. And it was the idea of everything I ever needed to know about life, I learned in kindergarten.
Right.
Like you've heard this before. But really, some of those same concepts of I'm going to work hard, I'm going to fail, I'm going to get back and try again, I'm going to be in the right relationship, I'm going to be obedient to my parents, you know, learning all these things, I'm going to get up and try every day,
yes.
Take full advantage of those opportunities. Like, it's the same skills we practice all throughout life.
Yep.
So I'm just grateful for this opportunity to talk about it because I think sometimes we as parents, and then it kind of translates over to our kids, we get so focused on our plan.
Yeah.
Well, this is our plan. This is what we're going to do. We're going to play the GPA game. We're going to do this. We're going to plan out everything.
Yep. And you get worried that if your kid doesn't get into the right college, they're not going to be successful
that's
in life.
Right.
And you're like,
how small is God if that was
small,
the case?
Right? I mean, I was thinking about Admiral McRaven, who spoke at UT's commencement address a number of years ago, right? Came out and it was kind of the famous speech, and he wrote the book on it, right? Make Your Bed, right? And it's just like, you want to be successful in life, right? Learn how to make your bed. Yeah. And you're like,
it's small things. Well,
but he's just like, here's the deal. If you start with something successful in the morning, you'll be on the road in the path for success the rest of the day because you've already done something.
That's right.
Right. And so all of a sudden, right now, you know, now 8 o'clock comes and you're successful and 9 o'clock comes. But he's like, if you can't start off with something successful, right, how far does the day go before you actually do something?
It's true.
And so it's just, you know, it's little tips like this to teach our kids. Here's the things that we're teaching you, right? The good work ethic, the principle of, okay, we failed, but you know what? We're going to pick back up and keep going. Mm-hmm. The idea that, you know, what's successful for you and what's successful for your friends may not be the same thing, which is great.
Yes.
Allowing them to be unique and handcrafted by God, where they don't have to fit into what every other 12-year-old looks like.
Can I also add to that?
Yes.
Celebrating other people's successes.
Celebrating other people's successes.
And I think the more we can model that too.
It, right?
Yes. Like truly being happy for somebody else.
Fantastic for you.
That's a life skill. Even as an adult, we still need. But man, if we could teach our kids to do that, then when we get to 12th grade and we're doing a comparison.
Can I tell you, we can't teach our kids to do something that we're not doing.
Yes. Agreed.
Right? So if we are not happy for the success of others as adults, but we want our kids to do it, can I tell you, our kids will see right
through
it.
That's exactly right.
Like, hey, mom, dad, what about? Right? You. So great stuff. I love it. I know it seems like our job, right? You know, I mean, the guidance counselor here, I know a lot of the conversations you have in preparation for the next phase of life really aren't college conversations. They're just conversations about life. And so I'm thrilled you're here.
Thrilled,
right? Our guidance, you know, department at Plano, same thing. The team down there having the same conversations with those students. But the parents, right? I think it's the concept of the parents need to have these conversations at home.
Absolutely.
And they need to reinforce the things that we just mentioned, allowing their kids to fail, not being the helicopter parent who's, you know, going in there, you know, smoothing everything out, making sure their kids don't fail, right? But allowing their kids to really own their own walk and their own faith is such an important, valuable skill.
I agree.
Love it.
I agree.
Kristen, thanks for the time. Thanks for the work that you do. Really appreciate the opportunity to share this with our parents.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
Thank you for investing the time to listen to this episode of The Journey. Please take a minute to share with friends and family who will also benefit from this valuable resource. And don't forget to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast app. It is truly our blessing and honor to walk with you on The Journey.